This is On Target St. John's, a look at politics, crime, education. What's happening here with the people who know? The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now, your On Target St. John's host, Linda Swain.
And good afternoon, everyone. How you all doing? Well, what a weekend we had. What a weekend on the eastern portion of the province. Hurricane Larry, he came as billed. Fast and furious, bang, and went on. And so that resulted in a fair bit of damage, but overall, not too bad. Not too bad. We didn't have those heavy, heavy rains that we saw during Igor, for instance, that cut off whole portions of the province at that time, if you recall, and caused significant structural and infrastructure damage. Now, don't get me wrong, Hurricane Larry came with those really powerful sea swells, and that's where we're seeing the most significant damage in this province, in and around St. Mary's Bay, Placentia Bay, along the Buran Peninsula. All of that kind of area took the brunt of the sea swells, and what a significant amount of damage. And we're still just starting to get some of the stories filtering in from some of those areas that have been hard hit. Some of the infrastructure in those areas, coastal infrastructure in particular, wharves and outbuildings that are along the side of the coastline there, rendered into matchsticks, just disappeared in some cases. I know I'm familiar with the North Harbor area. We have some friends who have a summer property there, and we go out to visit quite frequently. And there's a little shack or shed just down from their property that is used, I guess, as a fishing type place to stay, that kind of thing. And it's kind of picturesque, and I've taken a few pictures of it in the past. And anyway, our friends were up to survey their property this weekend and noticed, hey, wait a minute, what's missing here? The shack was completely gone. All that was left was a couple of bed frames and a wood stove, and just not a trace of this shed, you know, relatively substantial structure. Gone. No idea where it might have ended up. Did you see some of that video, too, taken in North Harbor in around, what's the name of the pond there? John's Pond in North Harbor. Cabin lifted up and moved 100 feet or more to another location, dropped off. The person who took the video speculated it was probably sea swell that moved that. It makes sense because it seems to be relatively unscathed just on the surface now. I don't know what the rest of the building looks like, but just amazing, the power of nature. That's why Newfoundlanders and Labradorians in particular were very aware of the power of nature and what it is capable of. So we're opening up the lines here on Target today to hear your stories, to hear how you made out during the hurricane on the weekend. Some power outages. I'm not sure what the latest is on the, and we're going to try and get Newfoundland Power on the line to get an update on the power situation, if everybody has had their power restored. I think it was down to just a few pockets as of this morning. But some of the things that they encountered, I noticed quite a few Newfoundland Power crews and trucks in and around the area of the Holiday Inn. So I can only presume that they were bringing crews in from other parts of the island, sort of to mobilize them and keep them busy to and as relief, I suppose, to the beleaguered crews here in St. John's area, where there were multiple outages caused mostly by the tree limbs. I don't know if you've had an opportunity to check out some of our parks in the metro region either. Some of our venerable parks, Bowring Park and Victoria Park and Bannerman Park, some beautiful old growth type trees in those areas, and really quite devastating to see some of the damage wrought there. Stay clear of the parks if you can. The City of St. John's is working very hard on keeping those areas cleaned up. And as you can appreciate, some of those limbs in those trees are quite substantial, and some are just hanging on. So they want to get in there and remove some of those limbs that are, you know, precariously hanging there, so that you don't go into the park and get bopped on the head, because you don't want that. We heard a great interview this morning on the VOCM Morning Show from a local arborist who's been kept busy. And he was saying, you know, he's a little bit concerned about people who are going out and trying to take care of some of this tree damage on their own without the benefit of protective equipment, because this is a dangerous job. You know, it may look leafy and green, but there's a lot of weight behind that. And because of the length of a limb, it's unpredictable in the way that it comes down and all the rest of it. Anyway, please be careful when you're out around. I want to hear from people in particular in the Buren Peninsula, St. Mary's Bay, Placentia Bay areas, see how they fared. I know that there's communities that saw a significant amount of damage due to the sea swells in particular. And if anybody wants to explain what that was like watching that from their window that night, I mean, I don't think very many people got an awful lot of sleep on Friday night, Saturday morning, just keeping an eye on things. I know a few times I peeked out and was alarmed at, you know, just to see the trees bending to that degree. And thankfully, it wasn't sustained winds, though. It looked like it was coming and going in gusts, didn't it, Greg? I mean, it was like every now and again, you know, the side of the house get bang. And, you know, so it was like almost like it was coming and going. But a restless sleep for sure. And you didn't sleep at all.
Well, I got about an hour. I got home, I guess it was about 8:30 Friday night when I left the building here. And at about 11 o'clock, I'll go up now, get in bed. And then I say 20 after 12, the dog was up and he was panting, not settling at all. I mean, the wind was just hitting the house and the rain was coming down heavy. And then trying to fall back asleep, couldn't do it. And then the phone lit up 1 o'clock and here's Brian Bedore. Power is out. Should we go in? Nobody's. So think of it here now. I don't know if we should be out in the roads. Luckily, I still have power. So we started broadcasting from my house, actually. Me and the dog, he was pretty good down the main floor. But the bedroom, Linda, I tell you, you know, as a dog person yourself, he didn't want to settle down. And anyway, it was wild. Yeah, I got to say, it was a wild night. And then as we you know, got through the morning and just heard, the big thing for me, I guess, overnight Saturday heading into the daylight hours was you were hearing stories of things going on. Like, we heard about MQP early on, the Mary Queen of Peace School. We heard about the tent. It wasn't until daylight. And then you start seeing people waking up, and then they're getting out and about their properties. It was just unreal to see some of those pictures come out.
And the Iceberg Alley tent, I mean, it was quite devastating. It was one thing to see it from ground level looking at it, because I know Jerry Lynn Mackey was up early and going around taking pictures, and that was eye-opening alone. But to see that drone footage of just how extensive that damage was, and it, you know, it had to be. That was basically a big piece of canvas, a big sail.
Yeah, sure.
So you knew that those kinds of winds, and John Steele said himself, he said, look, we could go 110, we could go 120, we couldn't do 140. It just was too much for this, for the structure there. So, and fortunately, they're going ahead. Mile one has stepped up.
Tonight.
And yeah, so it's all great stuff. So anybody who's looking forward to those live performances to keep them going through all of this, well, there you go. You still got your shows to see. So that's fabulous. And once again, a little reminder to our listeners that now's your opportunity. Tell us a little bit about the experiences in your community. I know we've been getting some tips from people saying, hey, you know, we had a lot of damage in this community. But nobody's talking about it. And then they hang up and they don't leave a phone number and we have no one to call and we don't know how to get a hold of it. We're not, you know, psychic. We need to know. People need to tell us. So here's your opportunity to come on and give us an idea of what kind of damage that your community sustained or your property may have sustained or how you're coping or how you made it through or how it compares to previous storms. And I know I heard Sam Sinyard on your show when you were broadcasting on Saturday, Greg, saying, you know, this was bad, but it was no Igor. And I think Igor is going to set the standard for us moving forward as far as damage and just that power that was behind Igor when it struck. I can't remember what category it was at the time. Larry, category one hurricane, and Igor was significantly more than that. And maybe somebody can tell me. I know Brian Medora is listening and going, ah, Linda, it was a category, you know, and he has the answers to that straight from the top of his head. Anyway, we have a couple of lines that are currently ringing. So I'd like to hear from you now. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we want to talk to you about your community, how you've been making out. We're trying to reach Sherry Gammon Walsh and Jeff Dwyer, who are responsible. They're the MHAs for some of the areas that were hardest hit through this storm, and get a little update from them as they've had an opportunity to get around and talk to people. So we hope to hear from them. We're also hoping to hear from Newfoundland Power just to see how their crews made out during what has been a very, very busy weekend. And we're also looking for an update from the city and the province, Elvis Lovelace in particular, on how the province made out overall, and what the cleanup efforts are like. We'll be back right after this. The numbers to call, 273-5211, 1-800-2... What? I haven't done this in a while, Greg. What is it? 1-800-1888.
1-888-590-8626. There you go.
1-888-590-8626. Right after this.
Weekdays on VOCM, it's Open Line with your host, Patty Daly. Join the conversation each morning from 9 a.m. to noon on your VOCM. We get people talking.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're talking about some of the fallout from Hurricane Larry. Overall, not nearly so bad as what we saw back in 2010 with Hurricane Igor, and thankfully for that, and no reports as far as we know of injuries or worse in Newfoundland and Labrador, so very thankful for that. But the damage is pretty significant, and I know, Greg, Saturday morning when I got up and about, and our power was gone, so what do you want? You want a hot cup of tea to start your day, or I do anyway, and there was none to be had, so I decided to go around the corner to the local Tim's and try and pick up, but the Tim's was out because they're on the same grid as our place. So anyway, that's a whole other story. But I managed to pass by Victoria Park and saw some of the damage in there, and it was extraordinary. I wouldn't go up in there, but I was able to take a few pictures from the fence, and the signs were up saying the park is closed, and for good reason. What a significant amount of damage. Really quite heartbreaking for anybody who loves greenery and trees and that sort of thing. And I tell you, one of the people who was heartbroken and disheartened to see the level of damage done to some of our bigger trees is Taro Foley Tanaka. He's with Snow and Mow. He's the lead arborist there, and he's a professional arborist, and he's been dealing with those kinds of things. And Jerry Lynn Mackey spoke with him this morning.
Taro Foley Tanaka is lead arborist at the Snow and Mow, and he joins me now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what were your first thoughts when you took a look at the damage that Larry had caused?
I was pretty shocked, to be honest. It was kind of devastating to walk around and drive around and see all the uprooted trees and broken branches and damage to property and that sort of thing.
How busy have you been?
Oh, flat out. We were Saturday morning. I got up around 5:30 and just started driving around town and trying to find like the worst damaged areas and that sort of thing. And we've been basically working until dark. So
yeah, tell me what you've been up to. What have you been doing?
We've done a few projects so far with trees, like large, mature 70-foot trees that have blown over onto people's houses, or we did one as well that was a large poplar which had uprooted and ripped a fence out of the ground and smashed a shed and ripped their power lines out of their house, and quite a bit technical stuff.
Yeah, how challenging is it when you're tackling these issues?
It's very challenging. It can be hard enough to remove the tree when it's standing and close to a house, let alone when it's uprooted and precariously perched on a house, and we've got to make things a lot safer and that sort of thing before we can do it, right?
And like, if a tree is uprooted, is there any way to save it? Because in some cases, it almost looks like something was glued to the carpet and it was tipped over. You know what I mean? Where the carpet of the lawn sort of stays with the roots?
Yeah, absolutely. So basically that would be just the lawn kind of holding in the roots. So with a smaller tree, you might be able to correct it and the roots will reestablish, but especially with larger and mature trees, unfortunately, when they do fall over, there's most likely quite a bit of extensive root damage. And unfortunately, the tree won't be able to survive.
It can't make the recovery from that type of damage. What types of trees received the most damage?
From driving around and having a look, it seems like the Norway maples were probably the worst affected. And that's probably the most prevalent trees we have in St. John's. So how it's a recipe for disaster.
I was just going to ask, how disheartening is it for you as an arborist to see this kind of damage?
It's very disheartening, I guess, but it just goes to show the importance of like proper pruning when trees are around your house to reduce these risks of failures when there is a big storm which blows through, right?
And any final words of advice, I guess, for residents who are still picking up the pieces in their backyards?
Just please be very careful. I'm a trained professional and stuff, and it's still extremely dangerous for me. All of our crew, we're wearing hard hats, chainsaw pants, all the PPE that's required. And just driving around, I'm seeing a lot of people with their chainsaws out with no hard hats or no safety precautions. So it's definitely, please be careful and stay away from any branches that are hung up in trees because they could let go at any point. Be safe out there.
And that was Taro Folake Tanaka. He is the lead arborist with Snow and Mow here in the Capital City region, talking a little bit about some of the damage caused to trees in particular. And like I say, if you've been out and around and you've been to some of the older parts of town or in our many parks where we have larger trees, larger deciduous trees, I should say, you will notice the damage. And of course, this time of year is such a bad time for hurricanes in Newfoundland and Labrador because the trees, we still have full canopies. The trees have not the leaves have not started falling from the trees just yet. And they're just basically big, great big sails. And of course, Newfoundland and Labrador, most of our native species are used to wind and that sort of thing. So the coniferous trees tend to fare a little bit better. And I know there's all kinds of efforts now to plant trees and that sort of thing. And I think it's something we need to be mindful of going forward, maybe. The types of trees that we plant. There's nothing prettier, I would suggest to you, than a Norway maple. And those red maples are absolutely gorgeous. I always stop and pause every time I see a red maple. They're so gorgeous. And sugar maples, not native necessarily to Newfoundland and Labrador, but very popular in Ontario and Quebec, of course, Maine, New Hampshire, all of those types of areas. So beautiful in the fall months, but not really used to the types of winds that we see here. So all, you know, part and parcel of things we need to think about and that sort of thing moving forward in dealing with these things. As they say, we're going to see more of these types of storms in the future. And of course, Newfoundland and Labrador is no stranger to hurricanes. We suffered through one of the worst hurricanes in what they call now Canadian history. Of course, that was long before we had joined Canada, but back in 1775, in and around this date, I think it was September 9th, something like that, when a horrible storm ran through, and the estimated loss of life is something in the area of 4,000 people, people who were out on the water. And their boats were smashed and they never got a chance to get in. And I know there's some old stories that persist to this day of bodies washing in on the beaches from that terrible disaster and people having to bury the bodies on the beaches, not knowing who they were or, you know, where they came from or anything like that. And that's where some of the stories of the jack-o'-lanterns comes from on the, in around Northern Bay. I know there was quite a few people buried in around there. That's from 1775. So, I mean, we've seen some pretty devastating storms here in Newfoundland and Labrador in the past. Thankfully, no loss of life that we know of this time around. But if you have any stories that you want to share with us, I had a call, came into the VOCM newsroom on a tip line from a gentleman in Rishoon. He said, how come you're not talking about the damage in Rishoon? Well, it's simply because we didn't know about it. And of course, he didn't leave his name or his number, so we had no way of getting back to him or finding him. So if you're in Rishoon and you're listening, I'd like to hear what happened there. We're also hearing about places like Bain Harbor, Marasheen, Red Harbor, some of these places saw quite a bit of damage. Is it Little Paradise and Great Paradise? In Placentia Bay as well, also saw a fairly significant amount of damage. So if you have any of those stories that you want to share with us, give us a call. The numbers to do so, 273-5211 or 1-888-590-8626.
The workday winds down with Greg Smith in the drive. Get up to speed on the day's events and current traffic, weather, and community updates each weekday afternoon on your VOCM.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're back on Target. We've opened up the lines to hear your stories from Hurricane Larry, but we're silent, I guess, because people are not used to calling in this time of day. So here's your opportunity, 273-5211 or 1-888-590-8626. And we've been reaching out to a number of people, but there's a lot of meetings undergo. Sherry Gammon Walsh, of course, she represents a district that was really hard hit by Hurricane Larry, and she is getting briefed and providing information in a meeting as we speak with government officials to just see what more can be done there. I know part of the road in North Harbor on one side of the harbor was looked like it was undermined by sea swell and quite a bit of debris and damage done there, as well as down around St. Vincent, St. Stephen's, that area known as the Gut. If anybody is familiar with that area, it's that big long stretch there by the Barish Way. That road has been closed while they conduct some repairs on that road for fear of, further hazards to the public. So they're asking people to try and find a way around that. In the meantime, we got a little update from Premier Andrew Furey, who was getting briefed on all of these matters over the course of the weekend. He spoke with VOCM's Ben Murphy on the morning show this morning.
Well, first and foremost, I should do a gigantic heartfelt thanks to all the hardworking women and men in Newfoundland Light and Power and Newfoundland Power and the people in transportation and infrastructure and the people in our emergency response team. I mean, they just were very prepared, and they've been answering the call since Larry made landfall on Friday, late Friday evening, early Saturday morning. I think it's a real testament to their efforts that the damage wasn't worse. In addition, I have to thank the people of the province for being prepared. We asked the people of the province to be prepared based on lessons learned from the past, and certainly they stepped up and were prepared. They allowed the hardworking women and men to do their jobs, to clear some of the debris, to get the roads back in drivable conditions, and to take the time to get the electricity back on. So I think that the province in general deserves a huge applause.
From your perspective, what were some of the hardest hit communities?
Some of the hardest hit communities were definitely in St. Mary's Bay. We're hearing of washed out roads around St. Vincent's on Route 90. There was some damage to the roof of the school in Trepassey. Mall Bay had some down power lines and an impassable road. But again, and North Bay as well. There are crews on the scene and have been all weekend long after hours, safely repairing the power and restoring the roads. So there are still some repairs to be made on the roads, and that will take some time, but they have the full attention of the Department of Transportation Infrastructure now.
We did hear from the mayor of Lord's Cove a little earlier in the show, Robert Hennebury. He said they're dealing with a lot of damage in terms of a breakwater pretty much destroyed, many roads in rough conditions and impassable in some places. He says that he was speaking to you and did hear from you, and the province said they would help. But any update on when that kind of help might be coming for some of these other smaller areas?
Of course. I mean, I reached out to most of the mayors of the municipalities affected over the weekend and the MHAs. And of course, Sherry Gammon Walsh has been doing a great job in representing that area and communicating to us the areas in the most need. We will be there to support them. And as the department is on the ground right now, trying to repair those roads, making sure they're passable first, and then reconstructing them. And then we will be looking at a mitigation strategy for future issue, because they've had, as I understand it, 3 or 4 issues now with this breakwater over the last 8 to 10 years. And obviously we need to do something better and work with our federal partners, our municipal partners, to ensure that storm surges in the future don't cause the same kind of damage.
Speaking of federal partners, has the federal government stepped up to help at all?
At this point, we're still doing an assessment of the needs. And if required, I am quite confident that the federal government will be there.
We are speaking with Premier Andrew Furey on the VOCM Morning Show. And Premier, it is still early on, of course, but any dollar figure on the damage?
No, it's far too early to tell that yet, Ben. I mean, I think, you know, right now, first of all, we should all be grateful that there wasn't significant injury or lives lost. And we are still doing a monetary assessment of the actual damages at this point.
And you mentioned over the weekend there would be a post-mortem on all this, but any lessons learned early on?
I think the biggest lesson learned for me at this particular stage is that people listened, and they should listen when warnings come out. I mean, the technology has improved to the point are able to reasonably predict storms and where they're going to land and the impact they're going to have. And it's a huge testament to the people of the province that they listened and that they were prepared. And that allowed us to get through, what could have been a worse storm for everybody involved.
And Premier, finally, there were just, from what we know, two schools damaged in the province. Do you know of any other damage to schools in around the area?
No, to my understanding, there's just the two. There's one in Metro and one in Trepassey.
Premier Andrew Furey, thank you for this.
Thanks very much, Ben. And again, thanks to all the hardworking women and men who took their time after hours and often put themselves in danger to help the cleanup efforts.
That was Premier Andrew Furey speaking with VOCM's Ben Murphy this morning on the VOCM Morning Show. And, of course, we've been talking a lot about Hurricane Larry, but the main damage, I suppose, caused in the St. John's area was caused by the wind, of course, and when it was taking those trees and cracking off those limbs. I know I had a few limbs in our backyard when we got up on Saturday morning, but no big deal. It was nothing you couldn't just, take care of yourself without any issues or problems. But some people had a lot more damage than that. And the city and other, many municipalities, as a matter of fact, have set up these sort of drop-off depots for limbs and branches and trees and anything that got uprooted or broken apart. And Greg, we've been getting a few calls about where you can drop your stuff off at if you do happen to have trees that broke up in your backyard or whatever
the
case may
be. Yeah, sure. People, I've had a couple of calls just today. People saying, "I got a lot of leaves. What can I do with the leaves?" Because as you mentioned, they were full, right, heading into the storm. So, here in the capital city, actually, and funny enough, when I got off the air Saturday, I took a bit of the long way home, drove down around Kitty Vitty where they were going to set up the site for Sunday. It was already full by the time I got there, 2 o'clock on Saturday. So, Hurricane Larry in the city of St. John, significant tree property damage, as the city indicating, of course. So, if it comes to your branches and your trees, just the branches and of the trees, they can go down to the Kitty Vitty gravel parking lot there on the boulevard. You can also go to the Bowering Park area. If you have leaves in the brown bags, the paper bags for your yard waste, when you have your yard waste biweekly, drop it to the curb. They'll take the leaves from you there. That's the city of St. John's. Now, as we make our way through Mount Pearl, they have a drop-off for debris at the Upper Glacier parking lot. That's going to run right through to Friday, 8 to 6 p.m. daily. They'll also start a curbside yard debris collection in the coming days, so you can check in with the city at mountpearl.ca for the details on that. In Paradise, residents able to drop off branches, trees, leaves, and debris at 619 St. Thomas Line. That's right by the St. Thomas Line treatment plant. In Paradise, CBS saying residents can bring their debris to the town depot right next to 106 Conception Bay Highway, 70 Legion Road. That's beginning, I think, just yesterday morning, so you can continue to do that today. And we did speak to Craig Scott there on a Saturday. They were quick to jump into action, too. So right behind the town hall, they're collecting all those branches there if you are in the town of Torbay.
Yeah, good to know, Greg. So if you're in the city of St. John's and you have a lot of leaves, you don't know what to do with your leaves, your crinkly green leaves that nobody's used to seeing, you just put them in your usual brown bag and you put them out with the
right on the curb
with the garbage. Yeah.
And all those, by the way, people, because I went through them pretty quick, but you can go to VOCM.com. We got them listed there.
We all have them all on the website as well. So thanks very much for that. Greg, we're going to take a very short break. And when we come back, of course, one of the big stories in and around the metro region anyway was what happened to the Iceberg Alley performance tent. And like I said off the top of the show, it wasn't until you saw some of that drone footage that one of our listeners captured that you really got a sense of the devastation caused there when the winds blew through and just ripped that big top to shreds. So there have been a lot of plans underway since that happened, and so a lot of shifting and pivoting that we've been so accustomed to doing in recent years. They're pulling it all off. It's going to go ahead at mile one. So we'll get a little update from our VOCM morning show, a little repeat from that from John Steele right after the break.
Saturday morning, join us for the Irish Newfoundland Show. Send your request to irishnl@vocm.com or submit them online at vocm.com.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're back. And the show must go on. That is the mantra of anyone involved in the entertainment business. It's the mantra of VOCM and anyone who's involved in broadcasting. The show must go on. Our engineering staff here at VOCM did, oh my goodness, what a job they did keeping things going here over the weekend in some pretty trying conditions. But the show must go on. John Steele believes that to his core. He's been involved with the Iceberg Alley. It suffered an awful lot of damage on the weekend, but they're going ahead at mile one. Ben Murphy got this update from John Steele this morning.
Well, they start up tonight. The classic rock night with April Wine and Honeymoon Suite and Northern Pikes, that show will not be going ahead. But all the other shows will go ahead, and Alan Doyle's show has been rescheduled to next Sunday, and Johnny Reed has been rescheduled to next Monday. So otherwise, that schedule remains the same, and we're going to be down at mile one, and we'll have bar service on the floor and in the stands, so everybody had a great time, and it all starts up again tonight.
And what was it like to walk through?
It was a mix of emotions, really. I mean, it was pretty devastating. There's no doubt about that. I mean, it was pretty colossal damage and stuff and that, but, in all honesty, when you look around and the crew that we got, they rallied really quickly, and our sponsors and stuff. So then it came back to, all right, that's done. How do we move forward? And there's a lot of pride on the line for the crew and stuff. To be able to, have St. John's Sports and Entertainment and the city of St. John's, they had reached out to us at 10 to 7 on the morning of the storm. After the storm, which was phenomenal. We were still processing everything, but we knew in the back of our mind that that was a possibility. And we just started going at it piece by piece, and we're able to start up again tonight. So I'm very happy about that, and I'm very appreciative of all the support we've gotten from our sponsors and from the fans and from 99.9% of the bands and everything. It's been really great. Got a lot of text and a lot of phone calls. A lot of people reached out with support, and that's always, in some ways, rejuvenating.
How severe is the damage down at the tent? Is it salvageable at all?
The tent itself wouldn't be salvageable. Maybe one or the smaller ones would be and stuff. We have to look at what all the infrastructure that we had inside the tent, and that's all being assessed now. And so we'll see what can be salvaged and what can't. But, there's a lot of infrastructure in that tent. People might, I would ask the same question if I wasn't involved, why didn't they just take the thing down? But the reality is that we didn't have the time to take it down. So the best we could do was batten it down as best we could. And our crew that were in charge of that did a phenomenal job. Everything that we had battened down around the sides and stuff, everything is fine. But, the tent performed as it was supposed to. It was supposed to be able to handle up to 120, 125 gusts. So going into the night, we thought, we got a chance. We can ride this thing out. And we were doing fine when it was around 120, 125. But, at 1:52 a.m., we got a gust of, I think it was 144K. And then the tent failed, and it just went down.
Do you think you will maybe try again with the tent at some point in the future, or is it still just too early right now?
I'm a never say never, and I'll look at our options, and we'll see what the situation is. It's a possibility we will. There's a lot of factors that come into play, of course, and if I mean, we seem to be having a lot of support, and if people want that venue, and we get a real sense that people want us to continue, we will do our best to continue if it's a practical thing to do. So hopefully we'll make the right decision with no emotion involved at the right time.
Have the performers been accommodating and supportive of all this?
99.9% of them have. Alan Doyle's always that positive, energy guy, and he was right there. And Johnny Reed rescheduled no problem. And Biff Naget sent out great messages of encouragement to us, which we appreciate. And all the local acts have been fantastic. And most of the acts, as I said, 99.9% of the acts have been absolutely fantastic. It's been great.
Can people get refunds if they aren't interested in taking in the shows at Mile One?
We're putting off a show. We sold a ticket to a show. And for the rescheduled ones, if the dates don't line up with people can't go, then we will refund. But if you bought a ticket for any of the other shows that haven't rescheduled, we are putting off the shows, and we will honor the ticket.
And you're trying to create the same style of atmosphere at the Mile One as what was in the tent?
Yes, we are. There will be the speed bar and the other bar on the floor, and you can drink in the stands and that. And so we have the same configuration as the tent. And Mile One has been great to deal with on this in the city, and we're really pleased with that. So it's still going to be a great time. And we really look forward to everybody's continued support. And starting off tonight with Big Wreck and Winter Sleep and Biff Naget, I think we're going to have a great time. And when that first note is played tonight, I'll be very, very happy for all the crew that worked so hard on the tent and then on the moving the into the new facility and getting set up for tonight. I'll be really proud for them. They work very, very hard, and they want everybody to have a really good time. And we're pretty confident that it's going to be a great night of music tonight.
And how much work has gone into getting the Mile One up and running? I mean, it's only been a couple days since the destruction of the tent, and now tonight, like you said, music will be playing at Mile One.
Oh, it's been full on. I mean, what the efforts of what the crews have put into this, it is really something, and it's a very it's very inspiring to see. And how they rallied, because a lot of them were very emotionally invested in the tent because they worked on it for a long time. It takes about 2.5 weeks to put that thing up, and they put so much hard work into it. And a lot of them have been with us for years doing it. And there was a few tears from some of them when they got the news or when we saw them, the morning after. But then they just, buckled down and got right back at it. And they're very emotionally invested into it, and they got a lot of pride, and they want everyone to keep on having a good time. So we're going to do our best that we can.
And what does the outpouring of support from all corners mean to you?
Oh, it means a lot. It really does. It's fantastic. We're getting from places that we didn't think we would get it. And it's great. It really is. And people stopping in the street, or people dropping baked goods off to your house, or people cleaning up your yard for you after the storm because they know you're busy. And there's so many things, and a lot of nice notes and offers of help. And I've had people say, "Listen, I can get a crew together and come down," or they say, "Like, I'll come down and help you." It's really been great, really, really rejuvenating, to say the least.
John Steele of Iceberg Alley Performance Tent, thank you for this.
Thank you very much, Ben. Have a great day.
Whiskey, whiskey, the singer's getting sore. We raised the roof, now we're lowering the floor. The band is blistered, but we got a little more. When I say 1, 2, you say 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. All together gone. It's now or never if you want another song. Song won't sing itself.